Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters and the third part of Change the Way You Think and Change Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler. Those of you who tuned in for the first time and want to learn a bit more about me, go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. It is important to visit my website because this is not a live show, but a recorded show, which means that you cannot call in. On last week's show, I had a call, but I could not respond, even though I was listening to my recording, because the show was timed, and by taking the call, the show would have run out of time before my talk was finished. So, caller, should you listen tonight again, my apologies for not taking your call. Please send me an email. On my website you will find my email address and I would like to hear from you. The same goes for everyone who listens. Tell me what you think about this show, whether you like it or not. Ask me any questions and I will answer them as soon as I can, which is usually within 48 hours. To some of your questions I might refer on one of my next shows. However, I will not mention your name unless I have your explicit permission. On my website you can go to page 4 and listen to my radio programs again. I will upload each show the day after it had been aired. I will repeat my email address a few more times throughout this show and also at the end of it. Just very briefly, why my shows are currently recorded and not live. I've tested a few times to be live on air and I was not happy at all with the sound quality. Even recorded the sound quality is not as good as it should be. But I'm still testing various ways to go about it and I'm sure that it's only a matter of a little bit more time until we go live. But now to tonight's show. Last week I talked about motivation and tonight it's going to be determination and perseverance, as well as one of the most important subjects, discipline. First, let us have a look at determination. In our context, determination means to have a fixed intention and resolution. But it does not only mean to have the intention to see it through, but to actually see it through, to solve a problem, to finish the task, no matter what. The simplest form of determination is sheer willfulness. When you want something, you must have it, no matter what. Being strong-willed is not good enough, however. You also have to be hard on yourself. Someone who is strong-willed but self-indulgent would not be called determined. Determination implies your willfulness and it is balanced by discipline. The word balance is a significant one. The more willful you are, the more disciplined you have to be. The stronger your will, the less anyone will be able to argue with you, except yourself. We can imagine will and discipline as two fingers squeezing a slippery cherry pip. The harder they squeeze, the farther the pip flies, but they must both squeeze equally, or the pip spins off sideways. If this is true, and we can say it is, it has interesting implications because discipline can be cultivated, and in fact does tend to vary quite a lot in the course of an individual's life. If determination is effectively the product of will and discipline, then you can become more determined by being more disciplined. I recently read a story by Brian Beyer, which goes like that. And I quote, "I want a fruit snack," I hear my two-year-old say. He just had one, and he wants another. Being the good parents that we are trying to be, we say no. He pleads a little, and we explain that he cannot have another one right now. A few minutes later, we hear this crashing sound coming from the kitchen pantry. We run in, and what do we see? Michael standing there, surrounded by fallen items, with a package of fruit snacks in his hands. My wife and I look at each other in amazement, being that the box of fruit snacks was on the fourth shelf, up at about 5 feet off the floor. How in the world does a two-year-old child reach a box of fruit snacks on the fourth shelf, 5 feet above the ground? There's the problem. We all know exactly what happened. We can easily deduct from the crashing sound and Michael standing there with his prize in his hands that he pulled himself up the shelves, climbed and pulled and climbed and pulled until he got what he wanted. So what's the problem? Well, most people will ask a question that I just asked. How in the world does a two-year-old child reach a box of fruit snacks on the fourth shelf, 5 feet off above the ground? I'll tell you how. He was focused on the fruit snack and determined to get it. You see, Michael wasn't looking at the shelves. He didn't realize that the height of the box of fruit snacks was more than twice his own size. Michael was not aware that obstacles were in his path. He saw what he wanted, and he did what he had to do to get it. End of quote. How many times have you seen something that you wanted and then saw the obstacles in front of you and then, what, gave up? How many times have you said, that can't be done? Have you ever settled for something less than what you wanted because the challenge was just too tough? Okay, so how does Michael's story differ from you and me? We are grown adults. We can see a price. We can see what needs to be done to get something. We can make a plan to overcome those obstacles. So why do so many of us don't make that plan and give up instead? Well, most of us can answer the question, and the answer is fear and doubt. We see a challenge and we say, wouldn't it be nice to overcome it? But, and then we find 100 reasons or more why we cannot do it, and we turn our back on the challenge. This terrible, this awful word, but, shouldn't we better eliminate it from our vocabulary? How often did you turn away and by doing so missed a golden opportunity? A golden opportunity to better your life, to do a great business deal, to get the promotion. Just think about what you have missed. You may have known in theory how to overcome the challenge, but you saw it as being too difficult, but it was too dangerous, but it was too risky, but it was too upsetting, but it was too far out of your comfort zone. How many times did it happen to you? Do you realize how much it has hindered you and held you back? Do you think that now you are stuck where you are and can progress no more? Well, if you do think that way, you would be wrong, because determination can be learned. Think about it. We often hear about the problems people with disabilities face. Physical obstacles, social rejection, academic failure, medical crisis. Yet some people do overcome enormous difficulties, enormous obstacles, and they lead successful lives. What does success mean to them, and how do they achieve it? What internal characteristic do these individuals possess, and what external factors have been present in their lives? What advice would they have to help other people build personal strength to overcome the challenges they no doubt will face. I'm sure that their insights may help other able-bodied people to learn to lead self-determined lives. Here we have another form of determination, self-determination. But what is self-determination? There are many definitions to choose from. The following definition is concise and incorporates a number of common themes found in other definitions. Self-determination is a combination of skills, knowledge, and beliefs that enable a person to engage in goal-directed, self-regulated, autonomous behavior. Essential to self-determinations are an understanding of one's strengths and limitations, together with a belief in oneself as capable and effective. When acting on the basis of these skills and attitudes, you have greater ability to take control of your life and to assume the role of a successful adult. Gaining control over your life involves learning and then successfully applying a number of self-determination skills, such as goal setting, understanding your abilities and limitations, problem solving, and self-advocacy. The personal process of learning, using, and self-evaluating these skills in a variety of settings is at the heart of self-determination. Self-determination is probably the most important skill that enables you to pursue with determination the goals that you have set for yourself. So, what do you need to do? First, define success for yourself. Second, set personal goals, whether they are academic goals, career or personal goals, or business goals. Third, keep your expectations high. Fourth, understand your abilities and limitations. Fifth, play to your strengths. Sixth, develop strategies to meet your goals. Seventh, work hard, persevere, be flexible. Eighth, develop a support network. Look to family, friends, teachers, acquaintances. Before we look at these points in detail, let me repeat my website once more, because as I said before, this show is not live, but recorded. On my website, you will find my email address, and I would love to have your input and your feedback, as well as your questions. I will answer all questions that you have inside of 48 hours. You can also go to page 4 of my website and listen to recordings of all my shows, which I will upload the day after they had been aired. Here is my web address. http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. Let me continue now with looking at the points in detail that I mentioned before I gave you my web address. The first point was define success for yourself. Well, people define success in many ways. I suggest that success is defined by who we are, what we believe in, and what we think it means to be successful. For some, it's money. For others, it could be relationships, family, job, religion, education, and many other things. I believe that success is reaching my own personal visions. Success to me is also possessing the capability for self-determination, the ability to decide what I want to do with my life, and then to act on that decision. To me, a successful life is one where I can be actively engaged in activities that make a contribution to the lives of others. And finally, success is achieving my goals on my own terms, at my own pace. So, what does success mean to you? My next point was to set personal, academic, and career goals, and to keep your expectations high. That means you have to be stubborn and to refuse to lower your expectations. To to never say I can't at anything that you would like to achieve. Bear in mind that success comes in cans and not in cannots. Believe in your ability to learn new things. Recognize your talents, your abilities, and your strengths, but also recognize your weaknesses. Set personal, academic, and career goals by knowing where your limits are and work around them. One of the main reasons people do not set high expectations is fear of failure. Start by having achievable goals that are not long-term. You could develop short-term, say, for example, a week-long achievable goal that leads to success. Build on each one of your successes and make each following goal a little bit higher. Think of it as a metaphorical high jump. You cannot set the bar too high in the beginning, or you just set yourself up for failure. My next point was to understand your abilities and limitations, to play to your strengths and to develop strategies to meet your goals. Successful people use creative strategies to reach their goals. They look at options and make informed decisions. Successful planning requires that you know your rights and responsibilities and your strengths and your challenges. Set goals, work towards those goals, and use tools and resources that are available to you. For example, one of the simplest tools is to write things down. Use a prioritization process. Write out everything that you need to do or want to do. Put them in order of urgency and importance. It also helps you to break down larger tasks into smaller ones. Make lists. Plan how to do the things on the lists. And then use the lists to motivate you, to strategize your plan of actions, and to get things done. My next point was to work hard, to persevere, and to be flexible. That means to knowing and valuing yourself, setting goals, and planning help to build important foundations. But action is required to make your visions come true. To take control of your life, it is necessary to choose and to take appropriate action. Take charge. Move forward. The willingness to take risks is critical to achieving success. Keep going when people say you can't. Be not afraid to do things and don't give up. Nothing worthwhile comes without risk. Without risk, success cannot be achieved. Never give up. If something goes wrong and you fall flat on your face, never mind. Get up, dust yourself off, and now move on. It has happened, and now it belongs to the past. Move on. It is not the end of the world. Failure does not mean to have fallen flat on your face, but it means to stay down on your face. Just as Confucius said, our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in getting up every time we do. However, if your plan and your strategies were successful in the end, that moment of insecurity when you took the risk is worth the achievement in the end. It is important to keep that in mind throughout life. My next point was to develop a support network, to look to your family, to friends, teachers, acquaintances. It would be fabulous if you had a family and friends who are supportive of your endeavors. People who spur you on and applaud your successes, both the big ones as well as the small ones. People who do not say, it can't be done, but say, go for it. It would be even more fabulous if you had a mentor to guide you step by step. However, if you have no support in your family and current friends, never mind. You can achieve success also by going for it alone. What very often happens is that you will be alone only during the first steps on your journey. Along the way, you will meet people who recognize you for your effort and for your determination and for your will to succeed. They will be on your side. This actually can be one of the bigger challenges you need to overcome. You need to be grown up, which means be independent. Take responsibility for yourself. When you step out, take risk and succeed, some people may be envious or fearful that they are losing the former you, the old you. This can cause them to be critical of your new aspiration and plans. They become your vision stealers. When you are overly concerned about what your family, your friends and acquaintances may say, you might lose your drive to persevere and let your visions fade away. This may be a great time to develop new friends whom you met on your road to success, who support your goals and gladly celebrate your achievements. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to abandon the old friends, but let them know how you feel. It could be that they need a bit more time to catch up with the new you. Many people tackle the task with great determination in the beginning. Then, somewhere along the way, problems may occur. Well, they always do, don't they? Or obstacles that are not easily overcome, and then frustration sets in, followed by a good measure of self-doubt. And then the determination begins to fade away, slowly first, but then quicker and quicker, until nothing is left, and the task, the project you started, will be abandoned. That's why I say, think your project through. See if it is really important for you. If it is really something that you want to do. Not just to give it a good try and see what happens. You already know how I think about trying. Find all the reasons why you want to see it through. And once you are absolutely certain that this is the right thing for you, go ahead. Do not forget to remotivate yourself by doing everything that I talked about in part 2 of Change the Way You Think and Change Your Life. You see, when determination is your strong insistence to achieve something that's important to you, you are very likely to succeed. This occurs because determination often focuses attention, dedicates energy to priorities, and constantly tells your brain to hold on to your goal, no matter what the distraction is. But if your project is not all that important for you, determination can also be exhausting, especially when obstacles are hitting you in the face. You would feel as though you are running uphill all the time, and somehow being determined is not quite as interesting as it might have seemed in the beginning. This can happen even though you had this well-intentioned desire to achieve a difficult task despite numerous blocks that stand in the way of reaching your desired goal. Even though your determination is a well-intended, brawny approach, using strength of conviction and a win-at-all-cost mentality, the drain on your energy and on your determination will set in, and your energy and determination will be challenged more and more and more, and fatigue will follow. Once this happens, you are very close to giving up. To avoid it, you need to, firstly, examine your strongest desires most deeply. If you decide on a path to action, understand deeply what you truly want out of it. The more deeply you understand it, the more data your brain has to work with. Want to make more money? What for? Just to have fun? Donate it? Do you have visions of 5-star hotels and first-class air travels? this is not that useful to the brain that longs for deeper thinking on such issues. You could ask yourself, how exactly can you sketch your path to happiness from having more money? What does money truly mean to you? Having this depth really lubricates the road for your brain's ideas and determination. This also applies to all other desires and wishes you may have, not only to your desire to make oodles of dosh. If your desire is to find the ideal partner in life, or to be a great success in your sport, or anything else you wish for, examine it deeply. Paint mind pictures of it and visualize what would happen if your desire was fulfilled. See in these pictures all the pros and cons. Write down what you discover about yourself. Be honest to yourself. And then make your decision whether your reasons to fulfill your desires are really strong and good ones. As I implied before, your determination to achieve a goal is only as strong as your reasons are. My next point is to plan ahead. To plan means that you break down your project in small steps. At the end of each of these steps is a goal that you need to achieve in order to stay on course. Establish a timeline and a roadmap, not just in your mind, but put pen to paper and draw it up. Begin at the beginning. Write down when exactly you are going to start your project. Then write down when the first phase should end and what you will have achieved at the end of this phase. And then you write down what your next step is going to be and how long it will take you. And then comes the step after that one, and the goal after that one, and then the next, and then the next. Each of these steps ending with you achieving the goal, the interim goal, that you have envisaged. And you continue doing so until you end with the final step, the big one, the end goal. This prevents your brain from asking where to go next, what's next. Planning also creates order. And this order will help sketch the shortest distance between two points as a destination, so that your brain, your determined brain, does not keep living in the energy-sapping states of the unknown. Having said that, your plan does not mean that everything must happen as you planned. You are not the ruler of the world and not the ruler of the universe. And many things can happen that intervene with your project. In this case, you need to be flexible so that you can adjust your plan to new challenges that you did not foresee. You can, of course, somewhat deviate from your roadmap or change your timeline according to the new circumstances. Accept these unforeseen challenges, the new circumstances, as opportunities and not as insurmountable obstacles or as threats. You know that once you have overcome them, you are another step closer to the ultimate, the big goal, the end goal. After all, you have all the good reasons to pursue it and achieve it. Overcome the obstacles and threats, push them aside, and realize that by doing so you have learned something about yourself, namely, that you are strong enough to master your life. My third point is to ask what is true and not what do others think is true. To make effective decisions, you must take the responsibility of perceiving reality as accurately as possible. Decision-making is not a popularity contest, and there is definitely no guarantee that what the majority thinks or believes is compatible with the reality. When you seek the truth, you are being true to yourself. When you are true to yourself, you nourish your will to persevere. My fourth point is avoid the no-action alibi. We've all been guilty from time to time of using convenient alibis for not persevering. We find excuses for not doing what we had set out to do. We even find valid reasons for it. But no matter how well constructed these reasons are, they are just that, lame excuses. My fifth point is, identify counterproductive habits or thoughts and dump them. Being mentally or emotionally rigid means that you hang on to habits that no longer serve you, habits that can make you unproductive, frustrated, and unfulfilled. Stop complaining about politics or neighbors or anything else that you cannot influence. Stop making mountains out of molehills. Stop dwelling in the past. Do not worry about things that you cannot change. Well, do not worry at all. Do not see yourself as a victim of your background, upbringing, and missed opportunities. And again, do not focus on what you cannot do. Focus on what you can do. My sixth point is, balance your determination with re-energizing tools. Listen to music you love. Exercise. Don't be blinkered and single-minded in the pursuit of your goal. Get together with friends. Relax. Have fun. Even the greatest determination requires breaks. Plan your breaks on your roadmap and on your timeline. The best would be to plan them at the end of each of the steps you take from one small goal to the next. Once you have achieved it, reward yourself with some time out and time to have fun. Let me give you here my website again, my web address, where you will find my email address. I would love to hear from you, giving me your feedback and asking me any questions you like. Remember that this show is not live but recorded. Here's my web address, http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Now, let's move on to my next point. Let's talk about discipline. The discipline I'm talking about is, of course, self-discipline. Self-discipline, motivation, and determination are very close associates. Actually, they are almost intertwined, and one can hardly function without the other. Willpower is also a close friend of self-discipline. One could say that discipline is the thought behind willpower, and willpower is the action. I am convinced that without self-discipline, you cannot be successful. Self-discipline is your ability to take action regardless of your emotional state. Imagine what you could achieve if you could simply get yourself to follow through on your best intentions no matter what. Picture saying to yourself, in order to be successful in making more money, I need to learn new skills. Therefore, I need to take a few courses in, well, whatever the courses are. Without self-discipline, you are not going to do it. But with sufficient self-discipline, it is as good as done. You know that you have arrived at the high point of self-discipline when every decision you make is guaranteed of your follow-up to the end. Self-discipline is the ideal problem solver. Self-discipline can make you overcome addiction. Self-discipline stops you from procrastinating. Self-discipline brings order in your life. Self-discipline wipes out ignorance. Self-discipline is necessary for your goal setting and for your planning and for the execution of your plans. Self-discipline combined with self-confidence and determination makes your visions come true, and that's a fact. Now, something very important. How do you get self-disciplined? Well, you already have a certain amount of self-discipline. We all have it to some lesser or greater degree. If you get up in the morning to go to work, even though you feel it would be nicer to stay in bed, that's self-discipline. If you have at least a modicum of discipline, and you have it, There's no doubt in my mind. You can build it up. Be thankful that you have at least some discipline, because it is necessary to have some of it in order to increase it and boost it to a very, very high level. The basic method to build self-discipline is to tackle challenges that you can successfully accomplish, but which are very near to your limit. This means you tackle something that you can master, just about. It would be pointless to tackle something that you cannot master, and then, of course, you fail. And tomorrow you tackle it again, and fail again. And then you tackle it again, and you fail again. And eventually you give up. But it would be just as pointless to use my example getting up in the morning to go to work as proof that this is all the discipline you need. No, this is just your very basic self-discipline that enables you to survive. But it is good enough as a building block on which you build discipline that enables you to do all the things that are needed to excel. Coming back to my example of getting up in the morning, what about making a plan to wake up 20 minutes earlier than you usually do and begin your day with affirmation and visualization? Do it and you will give your discipline a bit of a boost. Then make another plan to get up 1 hour earlier to do the affirmations and visualizations, followed by some physical exercises like stretches, press up, and other light exercises. This is another boost to your self-discipline. Then look at your place of work or your business and think about what you could do better if you employ your self-discipline. Set yourself a goal or two which you can achieve just by being more disciplined in your approach to work. Or set the bar a bit higher and get out of your comfort zone and do something that is more challenging than what you are used to do. But do not overstretch yourself. Make it tough but doable. Do not set yourself too many goals at once, and all of them incredibly difficult to achieve. You will be disappointed, because the likelihood of you achieving them is rather remote. Stretch yourself, push your limitations, but do not overdo it. Let me give you an example. Let us assume you want to enter a study program that will help you getting a promotion and with it a nice increase in your salary. Let us assume also that you have worked out that, say, 6 hours a day of intensive studying will give you the qualification you want in 18 months. Now you get down to it, and indeed you manage to focus your attention totally on your study program on your very first day. 6 hours of studying accomplished. Wonderful. The following day, it just doesn't happen. You cannot concentrate. You are distracted easily. A complete flop. What happened? In all likelihood, the 6 hours of study time were just too much for you, and you experienced some kind of little burnout. Your brain could no longer cope with the demands you put to it. Therefore, just cut down your study time at first. Begin with 2 hours and see how it goes. In all likelihood, it feels like nothing the first day, and perhaps the second day is still easy. The third day may be challenging, but still doable. But now you get into your stride, into your rhythm. In other words, you test yourself over a period of time what you can do and what you cannot do. You will find that after some time, I cannot tell you how long it will be because it depends on everyone individually, you can increase your study time by another hour or so, and it will be without any greater effort on your part. After another while, you can increase your study time again some more. Your brain is getting used to it now. Not only can you concentrate without effort, but your brain retains the study material much better than before. You see, your brain is quite flexible and can adapt and can even grow, just as your self-discipline can grow. One more word to the study program and discipline. It should go without saying that if your plan is to study 5 days a week, 5 days a week it is going to be. No excuses. I have said so when I spoke about determination. Do not compare yourself with other people. You will find that many are way ahead of you, which will make you feel bad. Some might be behind you, which might make you overrate yourself. Just compare yourself and where you are now to the person that you were before you embarked on your life-changing endeavor. I have just noticed that we are gradually running out of time. I will continue next week to talk about self-discipline because it is indeed a very important subject. Without self-discipline, you cannot establish routines that are necessary to increase your self-confidence, your self-motivation, your goal setting and the execution of your goals. But with self-discipline, you can do all this and much more. And you can move toward achieving success and excellence. Here is my web address again for you to find my email address and give me feedback and ask questions, any questions you like, whether they are within the parameter of our main theme, change the way you think and change your life, or outside this parameter. Here's the address. http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. Please tune in again next week, same day, same time. For tonight, I leave you with a quote by Theodore Roosevelt. And I quote, "With self-discipline, most anything is possible." End of quote. And I could not agree more. Good night.